Good morning, everybody.
This week's Sefer is Parashat Pinchas.
There's a great deal to say about Parashat Pinchas. What I would really like to do is talk about a number of the personalities who make up not only the Parsha, but also the Haftarah. There is something a little unique about the Haftarah this week. In most years, Parashat Pinchas comes after Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And therefore, the Haftarah is the first of the Haftarot for the 3 weeks. When Parashat Pinchas comes before Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, there is in the Chumash, there is a Haftarah for Parashat Pinchas. I'll clarify this a bit more. From the beginning of Sefer Bereshit until and including Parashat Pinchas, the Haftarah, and there is a Haftarah that is related to the Parashat HaShavua. The Haftarah is chosen because of its connection to the Torah portion. Beginning with the 3 weeks, the Haftorah portion is chosen not because of its relationship to the Seder, but it's chosen because of its relationship to the period of the year, the time of the year. So from next Shabbos, from after Shavuos of the Tammuz, and further, what we really have is, first, 3 Haftorot of suffering, of punishment, Gimel Dipur Onuta, the 3 of Peroniot. Then come a series of 7 Haftarot that are called the 7 Haftarot of Consolation. After that, there will be another 2 that are called the Haftarot of Tshuva, and that brings us to Rosh Hashanah. 3 weeks, the Haftarot of punishment, 7 the Haftarot of Consolation, that's 10, and then 2 Haftarot of Tshuva, and there we are at Rosh Hashanah. And then it's going to start all over again with Bereshit, then we start all over again. Now that means, throughout the year, of course, each Seder has a Haftarah, unless, of course, there is something special that happens that week. If it's a Rosh Chodesh, then we read the Haftarah of Rosh Chodesh. If Sunday is going to be Rosh Chodesh, then we read the Haftarah of Mohar Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. If it turns out to be Parashat Shkolim, Zohar, Porah, or HaChodesh, there's a different Haftarah. If it's Shabbos HaGodl, it's a different Haftarah. I'm only saying this as an introduction to the fact that we're going to deal with this Haftarah as well. The personalities that appear in the Sedra are, the beginning of the Sedra is Pinchas. And that's one of the reasons why the Sedra, of course, is referred to as Parashat Pinchas. The Haftarah is about Eliyahu Hanavi. It'd be fascinating to see the personalities of Pinchas and Eliyahu. And then in the middle of the Sedra, and that's the text that we're going to deal with, and from there we will talk about Pinchas and Eliyahu. What I'd like to learn is a few psukim in the very center of the parasha. Chapter 27, pasuk 12. Chapter 27, Pasuk 12. God said to Moshe, Alei el har ha'avodim hazeh, go up to this mountain with 2 sides. One side already belonged to the Jewish people, the other side was Moab. Go up upon that mountain, ure'eyet ha'aretz asher natati levnei Yisrael, and see the land that I have given to the children of Israel. V'ra'ita ota, you will see the land, v'nesafta el amecha, and you will be gathered to your people, gam ata, you also, kasher ne'asaf Aaron achicha, like your brother Aaron had died. Kasher meditem pi b'midbar tzin, because you had rebelled against me in the desert of Tzin, v'medivat ha'edah, in the contention of the community, la'adishaini b'mayin le'ineim, you could have sanctified me through the waters before their very eyes, but you didn't. Hein mein medivat kadesh midbatsin, those are the waters of contention in Kadesh, which was in the desert of Tzin. We learned that whole, we learned the parasha of mein medivat, the waters of contention. And here Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you can go up to the mountain, you're going to see Eretz Yisrael, but you're not going to cross into that land because of the sin that you committed there. Vayedaber Moshe el Hashem l'mor, Moshe spoke to God so saying. I said that pasuk very quickly, but I think we have to stop and take a second look at that pasuk. There is no other pasuk like it in all of Torah. What's the normal pasuk that appears? Vayedaber Hashem, God spoke to Moshe so saying. And what does it mean, God spoke to Moshe so saying? When God commands, when God gives instructions, when he guides, when he directs, he speaks to Moshe, Lamor, so that Moshe should pass the message on to the Jewish people. Here all of a sudden the roles are reversed. Isn't that what the pasuk seems to mean? It's now Moshe speaking to God, so saying, a total reversal of roles. As though, in a sense, so to speak, Moshe is the one who is now making demands. Moshe is commanding. And Lamor is a problem. What are we going to do with the word Lamor? So Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu is waiting. Lamor, God, I want you to answer me now. Moshe Rabbeinu was making a demand. Fascinating. What is the demand? What is it that Moshe wants? Yifkod Hashem alekei haruchot l'chol basar ish al ha'edah. Let God, the God of the spirit of man, God who knows what man truly is, God who knows the spirit of all flesh, I want you to appoint a man upon this community. Moshe Rabbeinu has just been told that he's going to die. We need a continuity of leadership for the Jewish community. The torch has to be passed. As a true leader of his people, his concern now becomes, who will lead the Jewish people? And he has a prescription for leadership. It's not simply a matter, God, that you're going to appoint anybody whom you want to. This man has to have very special qualifications. Asher Yetzei L'Shnayim, who will go out before them, who's going to lead them, not be led by them. It's one of the important qualifications of a leader. He should go out before them. Basher Yavo L'Shnayim should come in before them. Basher Yotziyim, Basher Yiviyim, take them out, bring them in. V'loti Adav Hashem, the community of God should not remain Kitzon Asher Ein Lahem Roeh, like sheep that don't have a shepherd. We'll get back to these psukim. They're all fascinating. There's a great deal to be said here. Yom Hashem Roshe, God said to Moshe, Kachlachat Yeshua Ben Nun. Take Yehoshua Ben Nun Ish Asher Ruach, for a person who has spirit in him. As Rashi is going to explain, that he has the patience to suffer with all the different kinds of people that make up a community. You have to have a lot of patience. To be a real leader, you have to have a lot of patience. There's all sorts of Marish character that comes from all sorts of people. There are different needs, different approaches, different ways of thinking, and the leader has to be able to suffer. Able to suffer. The Hamadatah told B'samachta Yodekha Olav, and you should place, watch the word, Yodekha singular, place your hand on him. The Hamadatah told if they Olav Rakhain, you should place him before Olav Rakhain, if they call Haidon before the entire community, V'tzivita Otolainayim, you should command him in their eyes, in their presence. You are to instruct him, and you are to appoint him as the next leader of the Jewish people. The Natata Mehodcha Alav, from the brilliance and the shine that is upon you, you should give that upon him. Pass to him that beauty which was Moshe. As our rabbis tell us, Pnei Moshe, the face of Moshe was Kipnei Chama, the face of the sun.
And Pnei Yehoshua, the face of Yehoshua was the Pnei Levona, the face of the moon. Yehoshua was a reflection of the greatness, the brilliance of Moshe Rabbeinu. L'man yishmu kol adav b'nei Yisrael, that the entire community of Israel should hear, they should see, and they should know that he is the one who is appointed. Elozar HaKoyin Yamod, and he should stand before Elozar the Koyin, the Shah, Lo B'Nishpat, Ha'unim, L'Shnei Hashem, in the event that he will want instruction from God. So he will stand before the Kohen Elazar, who has the Urim, the Tumim, the breastplate, and the Melech, or leader of the Jewish people, was able to ask the Kohen for instruction. Al-Piv Yetzu, according to his instruction, the instruction of Elazar, they should go out, Al-Piv Yavo, and through him they will come in. He and the entire children of Israel with him, and the entire community. Yes, Moshe Kasher, Tziva Hashem, Moshe did that which God commanded him. Vayikachet Yehoshua, he took Yehoshua by Yamideu lifnei Elazar HaKohen, he placed him before Elazar HaKohen, v'lifnei kol ha'edah, and before the entire community. Vayismochet Yadav Alav, he placed his hands upon him, both hands. He bestowed upon him even more than God asked of him. God said, place one hand, and Moshe places both of his hands upon him by Yitzhavayu, and he commands him, Kasher Diber Hashem Biyad Moshe, as God spoke through Moshe. This is the parasha. Alright, we'll have to discuss as much as we as much as time will permit, but this is an extremely, extremely important parasha. It's not simple. Not simple when the torch has to be first. The Mahapach is coming. A new Memshala. Well, we have to see what are the qualities of leadership. What are the qualities of leadership? So first of all, let's begin with the idea that of all things, the leadership of the Jewish people passes from Moshe to Yehoshua in, of all places, in Parashat Pinchas. In Parashat Pinchas. If we're talking about Pinchas, then there's another fascinating thing we have to look at. The story of what Pinchas did appears at the end of Parashat Balak. At the end of Parashat Balak, we're told about a terrible story. Jews were seduced by the daughters of Moab, and they began to serve Baal Peor, terrible idolatry, and here was the tribe of Shimon, and one of the prince of the tribe of Shimon takes unto himself a princess of Moab. Terrible, terrible story. Pinchas arises from the congregation, he takes the spear, he goes into the tent, and he runs through Zimri and Cosby. Now, what's fascinating is that either the story and the reward of Pinchas, which appears at the beginning of Parshat Pinchas, both of them should be in Parshat Pinchas, or let both of them be in Parshat Balak. Why did the Torah divide the story in two? The story of what happened, the idolatry of Peor, the taking of the Moabite women, all of that is in Parshat Balak. 24,000 people die in a plague before God. And then this week said, "Rabbi Yadavir, Hashem Elohim Shalemor, God speaks to Moshe, saying, Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, Heishivet Hamatim Mi'al B'nei Yisrael. He is the one who stopped my anger from upon the Jewish people, because he was zealous for me in their midst, and I didn't destroy the children of Israel in my anger. Therefore, tell Pinchas, Hinini Noten Lo Briti Shalom, I give him my covenant of peace, and it should be a covenant unto him and his children for all time, as a Kohen and a leader of the Jewish people." Why is the story divided in two? I believe the Torah wants to tell us something. an act of zealousness, the kind that was committed by Pinchas, an act of, could be an act of anger. It certainly is courageous. It's an indication of a person who is decisive. Takes a great deal of conviction and commitment to be a kanoi of that sort. There's only one problem. When we see an act of kanaut, when we see an act of zealousness, we are never able to judge to what extent is it genuine and to what extent may there possibly be some kind of personal interest involved. We never know. There may even be a personal interest on a subconscious level that the perpetrator of the act of kanaut is not even aware of it. He's out there l'shem shamayim. Down with the mechalei Shabbos. Down with the sinners. He may seem to mean it completely l'shem shamayim. He may even believe that he means it l'shem shamayim. But we're not truly perfectly objective. Absolute objectivity is nearly an impossibility for a human being. There's always something that's cucking within the kishkes down there, and we may not even be aware of it. There was something very special about the fact that the Torah divides the story in two. You know what the Torah is telling us? After every great, courageous act of kana'ut, you know what? We have to stop and ask ourselves the question, was it good or was it bad? Was it beneficial or was it detrimental? And you know what? We need a pause. And do you know who can make the final determination? Only one. Only God Himself can determine and say, this act was truly l'shem shamayim. Otherwise, acts of kana'ot, acts of zealousness, we can't be certain. We can't be certain. Never be sure. And therefore, in a sense, there's the pause between one sedra and the next. At the end of the last sedra, Pinchas' kana'ut seems to be held in the balance. It has to be weighed and measured, and we have to wait patiently for a final determination. The outcome. Was it good or was it bad? And the only one who can say that is God. And God says, you should know, this act of kana'ut heshiv et chamati mi'al b'nei Yisrael. It has removed my anger from the Jewish people, and therefore I give him a covenant of peace forever and ever after. The Kotzke Rebbe says, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, let the God of all spirit, the God who knows the spirit of all human flesh, let him appoint a man upon the community, so that the community of God should not be like sheep without a shepherd. And you know how that's introduced? With that great pasuk by Yedaber Moshe El Hashem Lemor, Moshe spoke to God, so say. So the Kotzker asked, what did Moshe think? Did Moshe think that God was going to leave the Jewish people without leadership? It's an angus howling that the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to leave the Jewish people just to wander around without any kind of leadership. Why did that occur to him? Said the Kotzker. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the blessing that is given to Pinchas and the covenant that is entered into between God and him, I give him a covenant of kuna, priesthood and peace forever and ever afterwards, Moshe became frightened lest Pinchas be the one who is going to be appointed the leader of the Jewish community. Yes, Pinchas did it l'shem shamayim. God himself bears eloquent and eternal testimony that what Pinchas did saved the Jewish people. But that's still not enough. Not enough for a man to be appointed leader of the Jewish people. The leader of the Jewish people needs different qualities. It's more than that. The Medrash says the following about Yehoshua. Medrash says, and part of the Medrash is brought by Rashi. Yifkod Hashem, Moshe says, let God appoint a man over the community. Why did Moshe see fit to ask now? Why does he ask now? So the Medrash says the reason why he asked now is because his request that God appoint a leader comes right after the parasha of the daughters of Tzlafchot. The five daughters of Tzlafchot who stood before God and said, listen, everybody's going to get a share in the land, and we're not going to get a share because we're all girls, and our father didn't leave a male heir. Why should we be discriminated against? Why shouldn't we get a share in the land? Moshe says, okay, wait, I'm going to talk to God, see what he says. God says, yes, Cain, Benot Tzlafchot, Dovot, Benot Tzlafchot are saying, they're saying good, they're saying all right. They should get a share in the land. So the Medrash says that when Moshe saw that the Benot Tzlafchot, the daughters of Tzlafchot are going to get a share in the land, so he said, listen, the time has now come for me to ask for myself as well. Listen, I have to be concerned about my children, that they should have a position after my passing. Listen to the Medrash. Harei Hashor, the time has come that I should ask for my needs. Im banot yorshot, bedinu sheyorshu banai etkodi, if daughters can inherit the land that should have gone to their father, so my sons should be able to inherit my glory. God said to him, no tzer te'eno yochal pilya, the one who took care of the fig tree is the one who's going to eat from its fruit. Banecho Yoshu, your son sat here and they didn't study Torah. Yehoshua, on the other hand, harvei sheidevcha. Yehoshua served you very well. The harvei cholak lecho kovod gave you a great deal of honor. He was one who got up first in the morning and was there all day till late at night in your bismedrash. He used to put together the tables and the chairs, and he would put out the rugs. I imagine they used to sit on rugs on the floor. Because he served you with all of his might, he is worthy that he should serve the Jewish people. He doesn't lose his reward. You know what the Medrash is saying? The Medrash is saying the following. What do they mean, you know, that he set the tables in order? I believe what the Medrash is saying is leadership over the Jewish people is not something that a person can achieve in one single instant of time. Because of one great, heroic, courageous, and dramatic act, not enough yet to mean that a person is worthy of being a leader of the Jewish people. Do you know how one achieves leadership? Through many long and hard years of work, day in and day out. It's not a gift that's given to somebody because of one single flash of great courage and kanal. Yehoshua, during all of those years, 40 years in the Midbar, Yehoshua was there, the Bismedrish, day in and day out. And you know what? There's something very unique about leadership. When the Medrash says that he put the chairs together, you know what it means? It means a person who is truly a leader has to be ready to do small things as well. In other words, the one who wants to be a leader but is going to sit in his Volvo with a telephone and let everybody else do all of the small work, that's not leadership. The leader has to be ready to get down on hands and knees if necessary. What it means is to put the chairs together, to sweep out the Bismedrish, That's what leadership is. And you know what? It develops over a long period of time. I get the feeling as well that during all of those years, somebody had a problem. Somebody needed advice. Somebody had a shaila. Somebody needed a little protection. Where did you go to? Who was the one person you could be absolutely certain that you find him all the time? He didn't have Sha'ot Kabbalah, he'll receive people between 9 and 9:15 every morning. Yeah, he sure was in the Bismedish a whole day. He didn't have an office hour. He was there a whole day. Late at night, somebody can't sleep, never a tzara with a wife, a child, somebody's not well, they need a panak. Who did you go to? You ran to Yeshua. Do you know what it means? It means that during those 40 years, Yeshua learned the neshama of Klal Yisrael. To know the neshama of Klal Yisrael, you have to know people. You have to know people. You have to know what their problems are. You have to know what's bothering them. You have to know what's going on in their hearts and in their minds. Only then can you have the compassion and the patience that is necessary to be a leader. There's a Gemara that says that when the Sanhedrin removed Rabbi Gamliel was impeached. The whole story where Rabbi Gamliel did not deal properly with Rabbi Yehoshua, so the decision was taken by the Sanhedrin to impeach Rabbi Gamliel. And who did they choose? Who did they choose as the one to head the Sanhedrin? They chose Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There's the famous Mishnah that we all know, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Harei ani kiven shivim shana," I'm like 70 years old. The truth is, he was 18 years old when he was appointed to head the Sanhedrin, but shame kicked us also, you know, an 18-year-old is going to be the president of the Sanhedrin, so he became prematurely gray. I know what it's like, you know, it's possible to be quite young and yet be gray. It's very, you know, it's dignified. All right. So when he's given the appointment, he says that he wants to elach v'inlach v'daditu. I want to go and discuss it with my wife. He wants to go and discuss it with his wife. What do you mean he wants to discuss it with his wife? If it's a question of advice, whether to accept the position or not to accept the position, so you know, there are Gedolei Yisrael, there's a Rabbi Akiva there, I don't know, there are big Tanoim and Amagoyim, there are Rebbes, Chosha Yeshiva, Moeses Gedolei Akiva, there are people to turn to. What do you mean he's going to go home and talk to his wife? I mean, if he's 18, V'al Kenzinov Shem Zayin, I mean. So what kind of advice is he going to get from his wife? You should know, Rav Kook in one of his Svarim deals with this, Gemara, and he says he wasn't going to ask his wife whether he should accept the job or not accept the job. What he went to discuss with his wife was that he knew that anybody who's going to accept the position of leadership in any way, shape, and form, and certainly when it's leadership of the Sanhedrin, leadership of the Jewish people, the price is going to be paid by wife and children. They're the ones who are going to pay the real price. Because the only way in which a person is going to succeed in leadership is if it becomes a full-time job. Something that he becomes totally immersed in. Something that burns in him as a constant passion. There's no such thing as being a 9-to-5 leader of Klal Yisrael. There's no such thing as 9-to-5 leadership of any great undertaking. So you know what it's going to mean? It may very well mean long days, long hours, day after day, and it's wife and children who are going to suffer most. Rav Kook writes, but those leaders who are not going to make this kind of sacrifice in their private lives, everything is going to continue as before. They will make no impression. In their communal effort, they will make absolutely no impression. And therefore, they have nothing to ask of a wife. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah knows what leadership is going to be. And therefore, he discusses it he discusses it with her. All right, so here we have Pinchas. Pinchas is the beginning of the Sefer. As we pointed out, the Kotzke says, when Moshe saw how highly God regards Pinchas, he became frightened that Pinchas may be the one who's going to be chosen as leader of the Jewish people. Therefore, he asks God, appoint somebody who is Elokei HaRuchot, you, the God who knows what goes on in every person's mind, and all of their differences and all of their needs. You have to appoint somebody who is going to be sensitive to all of those needs. The Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditcher, in his Sefer Kedushat Levi, says the following: A leader of the Jewish people has to be one who is able to relate l'chol basar. L'chol basar means just as you, God, are Elokei HaRuchot l'chol basar. It means that you understand everybody. You are forgiving to everybody. You have a love of all Jews. The leader of the Jewish people has to be somebody who will be Melamed Zchut al Am Yisrael, the one who's going to be able to stand in defense of the Jewish people and not one who is going to prosecute them. Which brings me to the next important personality. So we have Pinchas at the beginning of the Sedra, Yahushua and Moshe are in the middle of the Sedra, and then we have Eliyahu. In the Haftorah about Eliyahu, very, very fascinating. And the fact is that in the Haftorah, not only is the Haftorah about Eliyahu, but the Haftorah is more than that. The Haftorah is Eliyahu being commanded by God to pass the torch on to the one who is going to be the prophet after him, Elisha ben Shaphat. Elisha is going to follow Eliyahu. So first of all, our rabbis say that Eliyahu was really Pinchas. Pinchas lived a very long time, hundreds of years. He became Eliyahu, and then of course as Eliyahu he lives on forever. Eliyahu is a latter-day Pinchas. I'm just going to read a few psukim from the Haftarah. Eliyahu is being sought by Ahab and Izebel. Jezebel has already killed most of the prophets of God, and she's after Eliyahu. Eliyahu flees, and he goes out into the desert. And when he is out there in the desert, God appears to him. It's a very, very fascinating kind of confrontation between God and Eliyahu. God appears to him and he says, Malachot po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Why are you here out in the desert? Vayomasi says, Kano kineti la Hashem Elokei Tzvakot, similar to the words of Pinchas, what God says about Pinchas, I was zealous for the God of hosts. Ki ozvu britcha b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbechotecha harasu, they've shattered your altars. And your prophets they killed by the sword. I alone remain. I alone remain as a prophet, and they seek me to kill me too. And you should know, a few psukim later, there's another vision. God appears to him again. And he says to Malachi Po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And you know what he says? Repeats the same puzzle. Kano kineti l'Hashem, Elokei Tzvaot, ki ozlu b'nitcha b'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people have rejected your covenant. They've destroyed your altars. They've killed your prophets. And I alone remain. And they want to kill me too. Says God to him, Eliyahu, go out to the desert of Damascus. What's happening over here in this discussion between God and Eliyahu? And it's after God tells him, go out to the desert of Damascus, you know what else he tells him? I want to appoint Elisha ben Shaphat as prophet in your place. The Rambam, in one of his famous letters, Igeret Hashmad, or called Maimar Kiddush Hashem, when Jews in different parts of the Arab lands were being forced to accept Mohammed or die by the sword. So there was a posek at the time who said that they should, that they must die by the sword rather than accept Islam. In our circumstance, it was a very, very difficult time for Jews. And here the Rambam wants to make it very clear that a Jew need not give his life because Mohammed is not a deity. Mohammed is a prophet, and it's not idolatry. And he's responding to somebody who said, really said very bad things about the Jewish people. But anybody who's going to do this is a kafir, amin, an eved avid zarah. His mitzvahs are no mitzvahs. His Torah is no Torah. His prayer is no prayer. So in his introduction to this letter that he sends to the Jewish people, he says, a leader of the Jewish people has to be very, very careful how he talks about Klal Yisrael. And he brings this, these psukim of Eliyahu. And the Rambam says, Jews in the days of Eliyahu were idolaters. Most Jews in some way or another had worshipped some kind of an idol. And despite the fact that Jews were bad, when Eliyahu stands up and condemns them before God, God rejects him. And here he brings this passage. Malcha Kol Eliyahu, God says, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Eliyahu says, God, I have been zealous for the God of hosts. Ki ozvu britcha b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. So God says to him like a machzach nicht wissendig. God says, Shema britcha, maybe your covenant. What, me, my covenant? Jews, break it? What are you talking about? Amalos Eliyahu says, Ach mizbechotecha harasu, they have shattered your altar. Amalos, God looks, I think in Yiddish they would say, Kamavata. So God says to him, Shema mizbechecha, maybe your altars, my altars? No. Amalos, so Eliyahu says to God, Bet nevi'echa harbu bechorav, they've killed your prophets by the sword. So God says to him, what are you talking about? But you're here and you're alive. Amalo says, only I alone remain, and they want to kill me too. Heshiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God answered him, if all that you have to do is find fault with the Jewish people, you know what? Go out to Damascus and take a look at the Agoy Kiptais. If you want to find fault, do me a favor, don't find fault with the Jewish people. Go out over there and find fault with them. You couldn't find fault with Umbot HaOlam, with the nations of the world. That's what I need you for, that you should find fault with the Jewish people. So you know what he tells him? Therefore he tells him, go to Damascus. And you know what? I want you to appoint Elisha ben Shaphat as a prophet over Israel. The Rambam over here says, not only was this true in the days of Eliyahu, when Moshe for one moment said at the burning bush, "Hein lo yaminu li," the Jewish people will not believe me, "velo yishmu b'koli," they're not going to listen to me. He was punished for it. God later told him, "Put your hand into your cloak," and take it out of his hand was white with leprosy. I don't need you to talk Lashon Hara. Do me a favor, I don't need that. At one point, Yeshayahu says, "Ubetoch am tmei svatayim anochi yoshev," I'm living amongst the people whose lips are unclean and impure. So it says immediately, "By yorfalai echod men hamalachim," an angel came flying over to me with a burning coal in his hand. You have to kasher out your mouth because you said, you said something bad about Klal Yisrael, so you found fault with Klal Yisrael. And there's even a story in Zechariah
where a malach, an angel of God, finds fault with Yahushua, Kohen Gadol, and God becomes angry. Yigar Hashem b'cha asotam, and God sends Satan after you. Says the Rambam, if these great people, for a moment at which they found fault with Klal Yisrael, they were either punished or rejected by God. How careful one has to be before one opens up the mouth and says something about the Jewish people. How careful one has to be. Pinchas is a tannoi. Pinchas is a zealot. But you know what? He is rewarded for his zealousness. And he did more than speak. You know what he did? He ran through Zimri and Cosby and he killed them. Eliyahu, on the other hand, you know, he didn't kill anybody. So he said what was bothering him. Incidentally, whatever he said was true. It was true. But God doesn't need a Navi to tell him things that are bad about time. Why is Eliyahu rejected and Pinchas is rewarded? So I tell you, this is truly very, very fascinating. And maybe it can all be understood with a Rambam. Basically what it means is there's a difference between talking about the Jewish people and talking to the Jewish people. Now, to talk about them, and talk about them means even if one's intentions are good, but if you're going to talk about them, that's always bad. If you're going to talk to them, so it depends. You have to know how to talk to them. I don't know if you're going to just tell somebody who has absolutely no idea what Torah mitzvah is all about. You're going to tell them you're on the Chol Shabbos and you're on the Chayfus and you're no good. We know, of course, that's not going to work. That's going to be talking down to a person, not talking to them. Eliyahu, talking to God is talking about the Jewish people. That's clearly unacceptable to him. Pinchas is doing more than talking to. He's acting. But you know, this is a fascinating Rambam. What is worse? A man who's going to enter into an illicit relationship, a sinful relationship, I don't know, with an Eshet Ish, a married woman. And that's a terrible sin. And we're talking about the Mitabeddin being put to death by the Sanhedrin, or Kareish, terrible, or living with a non-Jew. Which is worse? Most people, you've answered in kind. Child is going to be a mamzer. Child from a non-Jewish woman is not going to be a mamzer. Going to be a visibly be a mamzer. There's a death penalty. Living with a non-Jewish woman, a shiksa, it may not even be a biblical prohibition. And even if it is, it's one of the lighter prohibitions. It may be only prohibition with the Chabanah. I mean, there's a question, it would seem, ostensibly, that no doubt about it, that an illicit relationship with a married woman, this is terrible, it's the worst. Says the Rambam, listen to the Rambam. Of all things, remember, hearing this Rambam a number of times from Rav Hanky Kamenetsky's Echitzad of the Rambam, he had an interest that this Rambam should be known. The Rambam says the following. Avon zeh, this sin of living with a non-Jewish woman, even though there is no capital punishment, let it not be light in your eyes. Ela yesh bo hesed she'en bechol ha'arayot kimotot, there is a loss here that is greater than all other illicit relationships. Why? Now this is going to be precisely the opposite of what conventional wisdom would have said. Says the Rambam, Shaben min ha'erva, the child who comes from an illicit relationship, say with a married woman, Nohu lechol davar, is considered a person's son for all reasons. Ubichlal Yisrael nefter, he's considered a Jew, ap al pi shehu mamzer, even though he is a mamzer. The haben min hagoyah, but the son who's born from a non-Jewish woman, ain't nobody knows, not his son. And therefore, the davar zeh, living with a non-Jewish woman, goren li david badoyim, that causes that Jews are going to become closer to the nations of the world. Shehivdilonu akodesh baruch hu mehem. God separated us from them. V'loshuv be'akarei Hashem v'lim olbon, that we will turn away from God and we will reject. The Haman has said precisely the opposite of what we would have thought. So of course the sin of living with a married woman is the worst. But the ultimate end of living with a non-Jewish woman is infinitely worse, because that's a destruction of the Jewish people. Yes, so a mamzer is going to be born. Okay. Marry a mamzer. Isn't it fascinating that yes, the Rambam knows the ramifications of mamzer. He knows the ramifications. But looking at it in the longer view of things, he sees the relationship with a non-Jewish woman is infinitely worse. Unfortunately, are we not the witnesses who can now testify 800 years after the Rambam that what the Rambam wrote was absolutely correct? The destruction of the Jewish people is coming not because of illicit relationships. The destruction of the Jewish people is coming because of the relationship with non-Jewish women, which is not such a terrible Avera on the scale of Averas from 1 to 10. From 1 to 10, Eishadish is 10. And most probably, well, the non-Jewish woman is one. But the destruction of the Jewish people comes through the other. Pinchas understands this. Therein lies the greatness of Pinchas. He knew this Rambam. He knew the idea of the Rambam. He knows that this relationship between Zimri and Cosby Bas Tzur is something that holds within it the seeds of a destruction of a Jewish people, and therefore he must act, and he does act. Eliyahu, by condemning or prosecuting the Jewish people, hasn't done anything to save them thereby. If he would be saying these things with compassion and concern to the Jewish people, it's one story. But Pinchas has done a tremendous act. His act of kana'ut is an act that is going to save Klal Yisrael. So it wasn't such a terrible avera. And the fact is that under normal circumstances, a person who lives with a non-Jewish woman, there's no such thing as a death penalty. But here was a special halacha that was said at Sinai, that a person who lives with a shiksa kanoim pogimbo, the one who is zealous, has the right to run him through. This is a very personal kind of halacha. You can't bring the fellow before a bezdin and punish him, but the kanoi, the one who is overcome with a sense of the danger that this is for Klal Yisrael, and he runs him through, will not be punished. So there's a big difference between Pinchas and Eliyahu. And do you know what? Because Eliyahu had told God, they have forsaken your covenant. Ozmu et britcha b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. You know what happened? God told him, Eliyahu, from now on and forever, your job is to go to every bris. And according to, there's a medrash that says that every Motzei Shabbos, he has to write out a list of all the drisim that he was at, you know, with Yosala and with others throughout the world. And he has to report to the Rabbein Shem once a week. He has to give a full doch how many drisim he was at, and that's why the child is placed on what is called Kisei Shel Eliyahu Zachor Latov. There's the Kisei Shel Eliyahu. And the bris takes place with the sandit sitting on a chair that is designated as Kisei Shel Eliyahu.
you spoke about the Jewish people. I'm going to send you on a mission throughout all of history. You're going to come back and you're going to report to me. It's very beautiful. I saw somebody who says that's why in benching we say Harachamon Hu Yishlach Lanu El Yol HaNavi Zachul HaTov. And what is his job going to be? The Yivasel Lanu Besoros Tovos Yeshuas Benachamos. Eliyahu, you know how you're going to do tshuva for your condemnation of the Jewish people? Your job is going to be to tell us Besoros Tovos, good news, Yeshua, salvation, and nechamas, and consolation. For all time, that's going to be... Eliyahu is waiting for the moment at which he's going to be able to do tshuva. He's going to be the one who's going to bring the good news to Klal Yisrael. All the punishment for his having condemned and prosecuted the Jewish people. Alright, so here we have... we started with a Pinchas. For that matter, before we begin the Sedra, there's a big question mark. Was Pinchas's act good? Was Pinchas's act bad? Who is the only one in the world who can determine that? God is the one who determines it. And God determines and says very clearly that this was an act of pure Shem, L'Shem Shemayim, was completely for the sake of heaven. Despite the fact that it is for the sake of heaven and God himself has so testified about Pinchas, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes concerned. Yes, Pinchas has committed a courageous and dramatic act that has saved the Jewish people. But that does not make him, therefore, a candidate for leadership of the Jewish people. The candidate for leadership of the Jewish people has to be somebody who has put in many years in service, and he understands them, and he knows them, and he's come into contact with them, and he's heard about all of their tzaras, and he knows what goes on in their mind. The fact is that the Medrash had said it, and Rashi points it out as well, that he asked, maybe the time has come that my children should inherit my greatness. So on a superficial level, we may look at this as though, Moshe, what do you want? I mean, nepotism. You want to make sure that, in the last hours of your being in office, you understand, you know, the minuyim politiyim, the political appointments at the last moment before the memshalah goes out. So he's going to make sure that his children are going to be appointed. So there are two things that one has to understand. Number one, if he would not have asked for his children, I think he would have been worthy of greater condemnation. Hatzlata has to be concerned. Who has to be concerned about his children? What do you mean, after all of these years, not concerned about his children? The real greatness is even more than that. The moment that God tells him, no, it's not going to be your children, but it's going to be Yeshua, he accepts it not only with completely and with love, but he gives a double portion of his greatness, of his hod. He gives both hands upon Yehoshua. He accepts upon himself the divine judgment. I had to ask for my children, and I did. And you paskened otherwise? You paskened otherwise. Okay, I accept it. Of all things, Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, God, you can't leave the community of God katzon, like sheep, asher ein lehem roeh, that don't have a shepherd. I just want to take you on a little journey, because to me, it's a fascinating one. The imagery or the example of sheep and a shepherd. We know, of course, that shepherds are extremely important in Tanakh. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv were shepherds. When does God reveal himself to Moshe? In Parashat Shmot it says, Moshe Hoyaroe Etzon Yitro Chosno. Moshe was the shepherd of the of the sheep that belonged to his father-in-law, and he's taking the sheep out into the Sinai desert and in the mountain of God. God appears to him. I just want to read a number of psukim. David HaMelech also. David HaMelech was a shepherd. And you know what David HaMelech says? God took me from Acharei Hatzon. He took me from following the sheep and taking care of them. He took me. Just a few psukim. I know the psukim, they just... I'm moved by them. We find that this image is used very often in Tanakh, and I'm just going to give a few examples. You know, we'll have to figure out what's the significance of the image of a sheep and shepherd. In Yirmiyahu, Perek 23, Yirmiyahu says the following, Hoy royim, woe to you shepherds, ma'abdin umefitzim etzon mar'itin umashem, who lose and cast about, disperse my shepsalah. Lachain, therefore, Ko'amar Hashem Elokeinu, also says the God of Israel, Al haroim haroim et ami, the shepherds who tend my people. Atem hafitzotem et tzoni, you are the ones who dispersed my sheep, batadichum, and you cast them out, velo pekadetem otam. Velo pekadetem otam. I want you to watch, this word is going to be used a number of times. Lo pekadetem over here can mean that you didn't remember them, you didn't count them. Hinini poked aleichem, I am therefore going to remember to punish you for roa ma'al aleichem, your evil deeds. Remember, what is the word that Moshe uses over here? Yifkod Hashem Elokeinu Ruchot. Let the God of all spirit, let him appoint. The word Yifkod means to appoint. Right? That's not the only meaning of the word Yifkod. That Shodesh, Pakod, is used for what? It's also used to remember, right? Pakod Yifkod Hashem Elokim Etchem. Yosef says to his brothers, God is going to remember you, and he's going to take you out of Egypt. You should take my bones with you. Beyond Pogdi, on the day on which I remember, and it can also be the day on which I punish, or Pogdi, I will punish you for the sin of the Egel. Pogod at Rosh B'nai Yisrael means to count the children of Israel. Ela Pikudei HaMishkan, this is the accounting of the Mishkan. Do you hear all of the meanings in the word Pogod? And you're going to find another fascinating meaning. David tells Yonatan, you go to the Rosh Chodesh Seuda of the king, and I'm not going to be there. And he wants to see, how is the king going to react? Ki yipokeid, I'm going to be missing. My place will be missing. Now watch. You see, because pokod can be remember, and it can also mean by not remembering, then it is as though one has been lost. So God says, you didn't remember, you didn't count my sheep. I'm going to remember to punish you. I'm going to gather in the remnants of my sheep, from all of the lands where I dispersed them there. And I'm going to bring them back to their dwelling place. A neveh is a land that is luscious and full of good grazing land. They will be fruitful and they will multiply. And I'm going to appoint upon them shepherds who will tend them. Velo yiru, they won't be afraid, they won't be broken. Velo yipokedu, and they're not going to be missing. All of my shepsalach are going to be there. And hine yamin bayim num, Hashem, God says, days are coming. Vakimoti le David tzemach tzadik. I'm going to appoint a leader over them, Moshiach from the house of David, and he is going to be the one who will lead them. There is another perek. This is in Yechezkel. the very beginning of the Pirkei Nechama, the beginning of the chapters of consolation in Yechezkel, chapter 34, the whole chapter talks about sheep, shepherds, and praising land. I'm just going to give you a few psukim to show how powerful the imagery is, and then we'll try to relate it to leadership. Why are sheps off? What's so unique about sheep and shepherds? Chapter 34 of Yechezkel, the word of God came to me so saying, Ben Adam, son of man, he nove arroe Yisrael, say prophecy about the shepherds of Israel, he nove the omarto, say prophecy and tell them, Alehem larom to you, shepherds, ko amar Hashem elokim, so says the God of Israel, Hoi roe Yisrael, woe you shepherds of Israel, asher hoyu roim otam, you tended yourselves. How do we say it in Yiddish? Matzichalein gepashit? Gepashit. The leaders tended themselves. Halo hatzon yiru harawim. But shepherds are supposed to take care of the sheep. And you know what he says? You took whatever you could get out of the shepstalach. Etachelech tochelu, the milk you ate, atzemet tilbazu, the wool you used for clothing, habriot chizbochu, the shepstalach that was a good healthy one, you used as a sacrifice. And hatzon lo tiru, but you didn't... You didn't tend the sheep. You used leadership as a means of filling your own coffers for your own benefit, not for their benefit. Listen to this pasuk. There's going to be this pasuk, and then a pasuk which is its opposite. Et hanechalot lo chizaktem, the ones who were weak, you didn't strengthen. Et hachole, the ill one, lo dipeitem, you didn't heal. V'lanishberet, and the one who had a broken limb, lo chivashtem, you didn't set the limb. V'etanidachat, the one that was dispersed, lo hashivotem, you didn't bring back. V'et ha'ovedet, and the one that was lost, lo bikashtem, you didn't seek. Now do you see how he describes the lost sheep? The lost sheep are referred to as midachat and ovedet. The Ovedet and the Nidachat. The Ovedet is the one that is lost in some kind of a foreign culture, who knows where on the face of this earth. The Nidachat, the one who's been pushed, and rejected. And you work them hard. And they were dispersed, mebleed away, without a shepherd. And they were consumed by all of the beasts of the field. Just imagine little Shepselah being torn apart by beasts. We're talking about the suffering of Klal Yisrael throughout history. Beasts of prey that destroy the Shepselah. So you know what's going to happen? It's not going to be that way anymore. Yishvu tzoni b'chol ha'adam. What you permitted was that the sheep should be lost throughout all of the mountains and on every high place. Throughout the land they were dispersed. Ein doresh v'ein mevakesh. Nobody seeks and nobody looks for them. Therefore God says the following, I swear, Ne'um Hashem Elokim, because my sheep were trampled by the entire world, my sheep were consumed by them, by all of the beasts, they own Einroe, because they had no shepherd, and the leadership took care of themselves, and not the shepherd. Therefore, God says the following, you should know all shepherds of the world, I'm going to go looking for my sheep. The darashti etzoni miyadam. I'm going to ask for my sheep from their hands. The hishbati mega otzon. I'm going to stop them from tending the sheep. Lo yiru od haroim otam. None of you are going to have any way of ruling over my sheep. Salti tzoni mipiem. I will save my sheep from before them. Lo tiyenu lahem la'ochla. Nobody's going to be able to eat my sheep anymore.
Because so says God, I'm going to go out and seek them, and I will save them from all of the places where they were dispersed. And now, without even saying that Tzon really is a metaphor that describes the Jewish people, the Navi Yecheskel just goes into the following pasuk: "V'hotzeitim min ha'amim," I will take them out from the nations, "V'kibatzim min ha'aretz odano," I will gather them together from all of the lands, "V'havi'otim el admatam," I will bring them to their own land, "U'ri'itim el hare Yisrael," and they are going to graze upon the mountains of Israel, "B'afikim," by all of the wells, the springs, "Afikim Banegev," "Ubechol Moshevei Haaretz," and in all of the dwelling places of the land. They're going to have good grazing land. It's going to be a good land. "Ani Eretzoni," I will be the one who will be the shepherd of my sheep, "V'ani Arbitzeim," and I will cause them to lie down. And this pasuk I love. "Et ha'ovedet ha'vakesh," the ones that are lost, I'm going to seek them. "Et ha'nigdachat," the one who's been dispersed, or shiv, I will return him. "V'lanishberet," and to the one who has a broken limb, "erbosh," I will set the limb. "V'et ha'chole," the one who's ill, "achazek," I will give him strength. "V'et ha'shmeina," "v'et ha'chazaka," the ones who are fat and strong and lorded over the others, them, "ashmid," I will destroy. "V'atenotzoni," you are my sheep, so says God. Isn't there the most moving chapter, most probably in all of Tanakh? Which chapter? Psalm 23, Mizmor David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mizmor David, Hashem roi lo atzor. Bin oz desha yarbitzeini al meim nuchotin nahaleini. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yea, I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ach tov v'chesed yirefuni kol yimei chayai." What is it about sheep? Number one, in leading sheep, I don't know, I assume, I don't think I'm terribly wrong, one has to be compassionate with sheep. One has to be compassionate. In last week's Sedra, do you know how Bilam dealt with his donkey? Gesetzt. Donkeys, gesetzt. Shepsalach, you're holding your hand. Oy, how can I overlook the pasuk in Yeshayahu and a pasuk in Yirmiyahu where God says, "Bizro'o yikabeitz tla'im," he will take the little goats in his hand. "Ro'e Yisrael," the shepherd of Israel, is going to gather them in and hold them. Shepsalach, you love them, little shepsalach. There's something else terribly important. Sheep go together in a flock. What does there's a certain unity. They all follow the leader and they stay together. And if they get lost, what's the responsibility of the shepherd? To bring back the little shepherd. In the unity of the flock, there is strength and there's growth and there is blessing that comes. And Shepsalach need a good piece of land. They need a good, fruitful piece of land to graze on. And listen, can one get angry with a Shepsalach who has strayed? What do you do with a Shepsalach who strayed? You don't get angry. A Shepsalach who strayed from the flock, so you bring him back with love. Do you get angry with him? Do you get upset with him? Do you beat the Shepsalach? You don't. The whole idea of tending sheep, as the Medrash says, that God tested the Avos Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He tested Moshe. How did they tend their sheep? How did they care about their flock?
it represents, therefore, the whole relationship between God and the Jewish people. He wants them all together. They may have gotten lost. They may have been attacked by all sorts of beasts throughout the world. He wants them back together. They may not know that they've strayed or they've been lost, and they're brought back, and he's going to tend them with love, with compassion. You understand that the Gemara says, Gemara Menachos, that says, Moshe Rabbeinu ohev Yisrael hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu was a lover of Israel. We all like to think of ourselves as ohavei Yisrael. If the Gemara, it's difficult to love Jews. It's difficult to love all Jews. We're a cantankerous people. We're a difficult people. We're a great people. To really achieve Ahavat Yisrael is something very special. Moshe had that, and it seems to be, there's no doubt about it, that Yehoshua also became the great Ohev Yisrael. He is the reflection of everything that Moshe was. Yehoshua becomes the leader of the Jewish people, yes, first of all, because of all of the 40 years that he sat there and he did the difficult work of leading and listening and hearing and being involved and being concerned. He is also the great military leader when the first sneak attack comes, the sneak attack of Amalek. What does Moshe say? Moshe says to Yehoshua, b'chal lanu anoshim, choose men and go out and wage war with Amalek. Go wage war. He is the one who wages war. He is the one who is the faithful student who receives all of the Torah of Moshe. Moshe kibel Torah from Sinai. He received Torah from Sinai. To whom did he give it? Umusara Yehoshua. He gave it over to Yehoshua. Yehoshua is not only the great military leader of the Jewish people, he also becomes like his Rebbe. He becomes the great spiritual leader of the Jewish people. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has the twilight of his, we're already moving into the last days of his life. He wants that there should be a smooth transition of power. Not only that, Yehoshua in some sense is already going to demonstrate leadership in the presence of the entire community already in the lifetime of Moshe. Very smooth ma'avar from one leader to another leader. Therein lies the greatness of a people who are tended by shepherds who care about their flock.